Kia ora and welcome back to the Burnt Breakfast. And right now I have on the line the Wizard running for Mayor. Good morning, Mr. Wizard.
Good morning, Liam.
How are you going?
It's not bad, thanks, considering it's a miserable cold day, but it might brighten up.
Yes, it is horribly cold today. It must be nice and warm in your wizard robes, though, I'm sure.
Yes, they keep me warm. One good thing about them. A bit clumsy sometimes. Trip over things a bit. And going upstairs is very difficult.
Well, there's a lot of stairs in the council building, so you'll have to. You'll have to be. You have to be careful if you're elected.
Yeah, that's not very likely, isn't it? Because the mayor knows I'm standing. That's a slight problem here. I thought I had name recognition, but apparently I haven't. No one knows I exist, apparently. I thought I did, but I've not been reported in newspapers as even standing, except the tiny little five other candidates that I mean, including the wizard. So I've had no recognition in the media that I have any significance at all in this race. There's some people there who never turn up to meetings. There's one or two crazy ones, and there's one who's got a crook, a criminal. Yet I get no coverage, so not surprising if nobody seems to know that I'm running.
Well, you're here on the station, so that's
yeah, thank goodness someone's sent a lifeline to me to know that I'm running. I thought I was a well-known character, I'd make a good story, but there's been no stories. Zero. There's no narrative about me at all.
Well, so
it's a very strange story, a very long and interesting story, too.
Well, that leads us off quite well. So you're running for mayor. What provoked you to do that?
A number of things. One, I don't like elections. I don't trust people who tell lies to win elections. I'd rather have people that were born in a job or have shown by their skill that they've risen to the top of it, whatever they may be. So I like people who rise by skill. I like those who are born there because they didn't want to be there. That's why I'd rather toss a coin to get a head of state in most cases in what we see in the world. And this is people who make very bad leaders. Those who want to have power are the least people who shouldn't get it, in my opinion. So I've stood outside the whole power game and watched. I don't take part. But when the council began to do what they're doing now, I got so upset, I thought, well, at least I'll show that I'm not happy about the whole situation. I've only got a couple, 2-3 years left of my life anyway, so it's a swan song.
Was there any one particular issue about the council that caused you to run?
I'd been serving the city for 20 years. I've got lots of skills. I've run many organisations. I've been in charge of arts festivals. I've established new departments at university. I've been the first man ever in the history of the world to appoint a living work of art, which is a very complicated and important concept. I was appointed Wizard of New Zealand by the Prime Minister in 1990. I've been a teacher in English literature in the British Council and the University of Tehran in Persia. I've been a commercial rep, so I've done a bit of commercial work. And I was in charge of two squadrons of fighter jets at RAF Duxford, the most famous fighter station in Britain. I've had a long and distinguished career, but no one knows that, because no one even mentioned one, but I'm in the hospital as some sort of idiot. The fact is, I came into Christchurch to light the place up, because I loved the city so much, and I enjoyed the Commonwealth Games here, so I thought, this place is a beautiful city, it's got a wonderful history, and I'm in tune with the founders of Christchurch, because they were romantics, they were neo-Gothics. They're escaping from Europe, which they thought was too industrialized and too dirty and too full of rat bags. They came out here to build a special world, a world that I appreciate. And so I'm in tune with the old founders of Christchurch. I feel like one of them.
So what do you believe are the biggest issue facing Cantabrians right now?
Well, I'd say despair. Put it into one word, despair. They see no hope, they've got no future, they know they're heading towards disaster economically, they're heading towards a world government coming up from a combination of China, the World Bank, who are not controlled by any national governments, and by the lunatic, I think a wizard, I'd say he's a wizard, he's so damn clever, that's running the World Economic Forum, and he's going to take over the currencies, he's going to destroy any independence of nationalism, they call it nationalism evil, globalism's good. So all the values I have are being destroyed fast all around me. America is now about to fall to pieces because no one there thinks it's important. to stand against these terrible forces. They are evil forces too. Now, my training, this is important to me, is a social scientist and a psychologist, so I can analyze things carefully from a functioning point of view. Who then comes next? And what's left is a very interesting situation. We've just been feeling it. The death of the Queen has made people realize that there's something above politics, something more important than political parties promising to do things they aren't going to do anyway, or misrepresenting them, and who can be bribed and corrupted. So above that is this beautiful structure, which has no power, but only has beauty on its side. It's sheer beauty that keeps the British establishment going. They've got money isn't important to them, nor is power. What does matter is their duty, and to look good and be there for people to talk to when they feel depressed. Political parties have got an axe to grind, and you can hear the grinding going on, the sparks flying everywhere. And when they start to clash, when two parties clash, we get civil wars and terrible things happen.
So you've talked about, you know, the potential collapse of countries coming forward, the World Bank, the controlling of money. These are big issues for someone.
To me, very important issues, but not to the people standing for election. They're talking about cycleways, you know, and parking and that sort of stuff, the usual stuff, which I think is good to be discussed in council itself, but not into the public when they're saying, what do they see as the future of Christchurch? A lot of them have got no idea that Christchurch has a history. Now, I'm part of the narrative of Christchurch. Every city, every country has a narrative which gives it meaning, which makes it feel important to themselves. That has been utterly destroyed by the fact that our present government is attacking all we stand for. A foundation of the country, its meaning, what's happiest moments, how people are in terms of mental health. So we're suffering now from an acute crisis in mental health, not physical health, mental health. It's really bad. And the lockdown and mask wearing, which is a Chinese idea, and this has never been planned before it happened. All epidemics were going to be described a certain way, but this lockdown and mask wearing was completely without reason. It didn't make any sense. So I've been upset by the way the public health department has made people mentally unhealthy, especially children. And the fear of the end of the world is now also being used to justify these new powers. Now, the end of the world is not approaching due to anything other than, one might say, insane dreams of skies falling. There will be some difficulties, some changes, but nothing like what we've been through when we've got a third atomic war on our backs. It's just people in panic unnecessarily. We should be happier. Now, you can't make decisions if you're depressed or miserable. You're doing something stupid for sure. It's only when you're relaxed, calm, and thinking carefully can you see what's coming and take actions to avoid it. So happy people are sensible people, which is where I spent most of my time in Christchurch, cheering people up, making jokes about the latest trend or folly, and basically going back to the fundamentals of human life, the comedy humane, the fact that life is essentially a very comical business.
So what are your solutions to some of these problems? How are you going to ensure and spread happiness and calm, particularly among the...
I did it from 1974 when I arrived. For about 10 years, this place was full of incredible things that were happening. The phone box war, the business of a census, the attempts to sort of form an army that fought all the time, didn't hurt anybody, breaking all sorts of ideas. And then in the end, the Prime Minister himself said, this man is producing so much happiness and so much discussion of really important issues at the same time, I'm going to appoint him Wizard of New Zealand. And I was appointed Wizard of New Zealand by the Prime Minister in 1990. And that Prime Minister was an old-fashioned Labour man who liked the working classes and didn't like the teachers and the nurses and all the public servants. So I'm the last of the old line of Labour-type people.
So the mayoral candidates I've interviewed so far, I've talked to them particularly a lot about the arts and having arts and events in Christchurch. And you obviously have a lot of experience in those areas.
I ran one of the biggest arts festivals in the Southern Hemisphere myself. I was the executive officer for several years. And it was a local one. The local people, not imported, local theatre groups, I ran several film societies, which I'm very fond of. Local painters and artists were all brought in. The worst you can do is to give artists grants. The moment you give them a grant, they become experts in getting grants and not at painting or making music. So the grant grabbing has given us a form of art which is so hideous that no one likes it. And if you don't like it, you've got bad taste or you don't know enough about it. Now, I did my PhD thesis in aesthetics. So I'm interested in aesthetics generally. That's why the make of art.
That's an interesting point because we here at RDU, you know, we want people who love and are skilled at art to be able to pursue it as a lifelong passion and career and so on. And some might argue grants are the only means in which artists can, you know, do
it's
their work.
Communism. It's called communism. You give them to those arts that agree with the government, and you don't give them any art who doesn't. So if your art criticizes females, you'll get no grant. If your art criticizes males, you'll be covered in money. You'll get money immediately, loads of it. If you praise the monarchy, you'll get no money. If you praise republics, you'll get money. It's all about the shaping of people's taste by the way the government hands out compulsory taxes to make sure you believe what they believe. So it becomes a conditioning process. If you say the best painter or the best person, regardless of what they believe in their theories, you'd get good art. And when you have government-controlled art, it becomes communism. We've seen what happens under communism. We know exactly what happens.
So how are you going to ensure people can, you know, create the art they want but still have, you know, means to feed themselves and to house themselves?
Because we have in a society hierarchies of excellence. Excellence in the arts, excellence in science, excellence in any of these crafts. It's a craft, art, like wizardry. It's a craft. You learn how to do it bit by bit, and you lead the way. People will join you if you're not part of a giant conglomerate based on compulsory taxes. The smaller number of taxes you pay, the more arts will flourish. Arts were flourishing like nobody's business in the 19th century when taxation was sixpence in the pound. The only time you had extra taxes was during wartime. That is the time you must get money from the people by force. You'd need to defend yourself. But apart from wartime, the fact that we're doing everything by this, I prefer even medicine to at least finance partly by those who benefit from it. And anyone who should get any money for nothing should be those people who really are desperate or have terrible bad luck in their lives or just cannot cope. But when it comes to ordinary people, they are deprived of power over their own lives. People aren't allowed to decide what they want to do with their lives. It begins with compulsory education, first step, by the state. The state should not be involved in education in any way at all. At the same time, it should be religious groups, political, any sort of group, because you need to learn free from being brainwashed by one ideology or other. I've written a book, which was published a couple of years ago, which I recommend to everybody. It's called The Fun Revolution, Jack's Adventures in Ideology Land. Now, this book is a series of essays about how we're all forced to choose some belief. I don't believe in anything like that. If I can be persuaded that this course of action is better than that one, I'll do it. But I will not be told I must do it, or I'll be punished for not doing it, like the mask-wearing business. I knew from all my reading that wearing masks would make me less healthy, they were dangerous things to wear, and children were going to be crippled, maybe for life, by wearing masks in schools for a long period of time. So this mental health thing is only part of that. So I recommend the book. You can get it from Amazon, Kindle or some other way, but it's one of the pictures. The first picture in it is a very young Prince Charles in Dunedin meeting the wizards down there in full regalia with their pointy hats on. This shows I've been around a long time, and I've been working for quite a long time to achieve the state. Wherever I go, people laugh and give me hugs. That when the trams go by, they all jump off the tram to be photographed with me. This is happening in Christchurch. But the council tells every single person who rings up city council and any other tourist group that I've left the city, that I'm living in Oamaru, and I've retired. Now, that's not true at all. I've been here all the time. It's ridiculous. I'm here in the street, pointed out and all, trams going by every waving, getting hugs, particularly ladies rather grab me, rather older ladies, they're very keen to get a cuddle, so I'm always there. And they give children happy dreams, because children's dreams are important to them. So they'll say, I'll give you a sparrow for a happy dream tonight, and all that sort of stuff. So I'm doing just cheering up stuff. which brings a warm glow wherever I am in the city. I'm the centre of what we call friendly warm glows and jokes and tricks, and I always annoy fanatics. Who's really, really sure they're right, and they give you that look in their eye, that hate look. Don't you believe me? If you're going to hell, or you're destroying the world, this sort of people, I tease them till they explode. And I love exploding bullies, because they get so worked up. I thought I'd do this when I stood for mayor. There'd be lots of bullies, but they kept quiet. There wasn't a word spoken. I couldn't get a letter into the newspapers. No one would write about, no one was allowed to publish anything about me, as if I don't exist. Now, who's got more name recognition for a mayoral candidate? Who in New Zealand has more name recognition than someone who's been known all over the world for donkey's years?
Well,
they're saying I don't exist. They're saying I don't exist. I've been disappeared. Like, they'd kill me if they could, but they couldn't go that far. But they would like to get rid of me completely.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I do have one final question for you. And you seem like you're probably not the biggest fan of bureaucracy and sitting down for endless meetings.
Well, I've done a lot of it myself. I know what it's like. I will do this if it has to be done. But keep it quick, keep it efficient. And some people actually like causing trouble. They love them to delay so they can speak at great length at a committee meeting. It should be a means to an end, committee meetings. But they actually like the bloody things. They enjoy being committees. Can you believe that?
Will you hope to, how should I put this, diminish some of the bureaucracy around that? Do you hope to end some of these committees, make decisions more quickly?
Yes, it could be done too. I'm afraid, I think, that what's happening is all the best people are being driven out of the bureaucracy. The more if you're inefficient yourself and hopelessly and you muddle everything up, if you don't like people around you who are efficient, you'll try and get rid of them. It's called Gresham's Law. Bad money drives out good in the banking system, and talent is driven out by dumb people in the bureaucracy. Honesty is driven out by crooks in the bureaucracy, and people who've got malevolent intentions are driven out by kind-hearted people wherever you go. Most of the best bureaucrats in Christchurch have lost their jobs and been cancelled because they weren't popular with their colleagues. We're producing a complete sifting out of all the good people. There must be lots of really good people in Christchurch who were once in the bureaucracy who'd come together and help me to put the city straight again. We could form a kind of government in exile of all those people who were good bureaucrats and had been pushed out by the bad ones. Because I've been in that many committee meetings in my life. I couldn't believe it. All things I've done. A great long record of administration. I'm not a dumb guy coming in from the bush saying, oh, could be better than bureaucrats. I'm a bureaucrat myself, or was, and I have to be.
Well, thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
I will give you.
I exist. I do exist. I'm standing folks. I really do. I'm really still here, and I know and listen. I can't get through to any of the people who control the information.
Well, that must be very annoying for you.
It is. It's so frustrating.
I'm sorry to hear about that, but thank you so much for joining us, joining me this morning and providing your insights. Good luck for the coming election, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Liam. It's kind of you to interview me. I'm much appreciated. Okay.
You're most welcome.
And all my blessings to all the crowd listening.
Thank you so much. Bye. And that was the Wizard, Jack, he likes to be known, running for mayor. Some interesting insights there. Right.